This is number three in coming world government through World Bank and finance that will be coming. Everyone is wondering what is happening economically around the world. They are wondering what is happening to the dollar. Why do we have so much debt? How did we get that far in debt? And a lot of people, even in their own lives, are afflicted with debt, and they're asking the same question, how did it happen? And today, the United States is right now in the position that an individual would be in if they had 10 credit cards. And all the credit cards are nearly maxed out. But there's just enough on one credit card 1 month to draw down and to pay interest on another credit card. And likewise, this juggling act, a person can handle for a while as long as there's enough income coming in. But if they lose their job, which a lot of people are doing, then they can't juggle it any longer, and the creditors start calling, banging on the door, and so forth, and that's what's happening with the housing market. They don't know what they're going to do. So likewise with the United States government. We have borrowed so much money that we don't know how we're going to pay it back. And we're reaching a point that it's very unlikely we can even meet the interest payments. Now, they calculated that if you take all the debt in the world, government, business, individuals, calculate the whole thing together, it's $300 trillion. And that is, there's not enough money in the world to pay for it. So how are these things going to fall out? Because they're going to affect us. Well, Uncle Ben Bernanke says he has a solution. Print more money, buy back our treasury bonds, because people are not wanting to buy them. But he also threatened them and said, in his roundabout language, if you don't buy them, you're going to be in trouble, because the truth is, if the dollar goes down, all economies go down, and there won't be any way to rescue it, except through a World Bank. Now, I think that they're learning with the different elections, like they had in the United Kingdom, at the riots they're having in Greece, the problems they're having in America, that you can't come to a world government by trying to change every single nation's government to be favorable in accepting a world government. Now, what are there, 180-some nations, 190 nations altogether, somewhere around there? What has the UN been able to do in, you know, over 60 years? Virtually nothing. So the key is, and we'll see a little later with the scriptures, the key is this. If they can control all the world central banks, because all financing in every nation comes through their central bank. Now there are 20 leading nations. There are 57 central banks altogether. These are the ones that set the monetary policy in each country. And as I pointed out, remember in October 2008, as soon as there was the collapse of the monetary system, almost completely taken down, and as I asked last time, who took it down? They know who took it down. Who was it that took it down? Was it the Federal Reserve that did it? How did that happen? To where they said we came within 2 hours of completely collapsing the American financial system because of drawing out from all of the money market accounts and the IRAs. And so they barely averted it. But what was the first thing that President Bush said? He said, we're going to form the G20, and they already had the agenda all ready to go. Does this tell us that they knew this was going to happen and they waited for it to happen so they could bring in change? And remember the politician's slogan, never waste a good crisis. Hey, so this was a good crisis. Now it has been proven that all the stimulus didn't work, because it didn't go to stimulating. It went to perpetuating government jobs. And then, as I pointed out on number two, the collective sins of America and also the world, they're all involved in this. So the judgment's going to come. Now come here to Numbers 32 and verse 23. Numbers 32, verse 23. Now here's a scripture to memorize. But if you will not do so, that is, do as God says, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Always happens, doesn't it? That's quite a verse, isn't it? Now, I don't think we understand the full magnitude of the mortgage collapse, but let me give you just a little understanding concerning it, especially right now with the moratorium on foreclosures. Let me tell you what they have to have legally in order to foreclose. They have to have the original copy of the note that the people signed when they got the mortgage, was in escrow, and they have to have the original copy of the lender's part in putting the funds into escrow, and it cannot be copies. Now, if they take the loan and sell it to someone, and we'll talk about selling it to someone here in just a minute, then the borrower is to be notified of it. But what should happen, there should be an addendum to the note with the new mortgage holder's signature on it, and the one who is paying the mortgage or responsible to pay the loan, signed on the original documents, they are to sign on it as well. So that, in case of default, then the new party can close and foreclose on the loan. Well, when they got to getting all of the loans through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it was mandated by the government to do so, to give loans to people they knew that would not be able to pay. And even Barney Frank admitted when it first started, there were a large number of loans made, and he said, well, there may be 15,000 of these that will be foreclosed on, but, you know, that's just part of the process. So they knew and understood it. So what happened? Larry Summers, the one who was originally the treasurer under Clinton and then also at the beginning under Obama, he developed a plan at Goldman Sachs. You heard of that name before? All right. And the plan was this. The way we can have more money for financing these mortgages and hence add to the boom of the housing market is that we'll set up a system where we can package these loans, buy them from Fannie Mae. Because let me tell you what happens here. You make a mortgage, the lender puts in the money, say $100,000, okay? He's used that $100,000 of his deposit reserves holding as a bank, and they do what is called fractional lending. That is, they can loan out, say, of $1 million, they can loan out 900,000 of that. Okay? But they can't take a 30-year loan and hold it for 30 years in this bank. So what they have the system where they would sell it to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They would buy the loan, reimburse the bank for what they put out for the mortgage, and then Fannie Mae would take all of these loans from all the lenders and package them up and sell them to a firm registered in this firm called MERS. Now, MERS took each one of these loans, and MERS stands for Mortgage Electronic Registry System. Each one of these loans is given a number. Then they would set the investors, like Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers, would buy them to sell to investors. And the way that they did, because they knew the quality of a good number of the loans was not good. So just picture a stack of 100 loans, mortgage papers. The first 60 are AAA. The next 20 are BBB. The next 20 are C. The final 20 are D and F. So they were all packaged in this package. Then they were certified, which then is called securitized, which means they certified that all of these loans were AAA when they weren't. And they sold them to investors around the world. Now, to complicate it even more, you heard of slicing and dicing the loans? And you probably wondered, well, how do you slice and dice loans? Well, you have so many investors that want to get on it and a lot of little investors that want to get in on the action. So you could parcel out by number of that loan. You could parcel it out to an individual investor for the monthly payment of 1 month. So then you get 12 small investors to pick up a month here, month here, month here, month here. See? Now, these went out around the world in the trillions of dollars. So now, it's all coming back to haunt them. Two ways. There are foreclosures, but with this electronic numbering system, there are no signatures. It's just like buying and selling stock. Remember how I explained how that is? When you buy a stock, you never get a certificate. You get an electronic, what do they call, a beneficial title, which means you have the benefit of buying and selling and collecting the dividends from the stock that you bought, but you don't get the stock because the agreement that you have is you cede, C-E-D-E, which is a literal word, which means you give up your ownership of the stock to the depository trust company run by the Federal Reserve. So all stocks there are ceded to the Federal Reserve. And cede legally means you give up your ownership to them for the beneficial right to buy and sell and use the stock. That way they don't have to take and shuffle the stock around every time there's a stock purchase, you see. So it's just like your car. When you buy a car and you have payments on it, you get a registry and you get a pink slip which says you are the beneficial owner of this But Bank America is the legal owner because they hold the title. So they did the same thing with these loans. Trillions of dollars worth of loans. Now, when they started going bad and they weren't able to make their payments and they needed to foreclose, they had no original signatures. And every loan that was sold would come back that the holder of the paper was MERS. Now, MERS is just a holding company. It's just a catalog company. The catalog where all the loans are and who has what piece of what everywhere in the world. They are not the legal owners. They never notified the borrowers that there was a new legal owner of the note that they signed in escrow. And what should have happened every time they sold a part of that, they should have had the new legal owner of the note sign an addendum that he is now legal owner of the note and notify the borrower and send it to the borrower and have the borrower sign that, and then the borrower could have a copy of that notice, and then in case of default, then the new mortgage holder could come in and foreclose. Well, this was taken to court because they didn't have legal signatures, because in real estate law, you must have the original note and the original deed of trust. You cannot have a copy. You cannot have a certified copy. You must have the live signature. That's also known as wet ink. Now, when I was a loan broker, I always had everyone sign everything with a blue pen, because at that time they didn't have the sophisticated color copiers like we have now, so that would be evident that that was an original signature rather than a black pen, which sometimes you look at it and you can't tell if it's original or you can't tell if it's a copy, see. So some people took this to court in Kansas, and the 7th District Court ruled in Kansas that they had to follow real estate law and have the original note, the original deed of trust, otherwise they cannot foreclose. So that's what happened. It finally got to the point that the people began to understand that, and there were lawsuits, and now all 50 states have a moratorium on foreclosures because they don't know who owns the note. So MERS is going to have to provide all the legal identity of the holders of those notes to the borrower. And until the borrower signs it, they have no legal recourse to repossess the property. So that's why now there are some people sitting in their houses, they haven't paid for 16, 18 months, and the sheriff can't do a thing because he has no legal basis to do it. See, because it's all based on mirage. It's all based on lies. It's all based on a system of buy and sell, you know, taking the mortgages and making them like stocks, which they never were, and then have day traders buy and sell. And so that's what's happened to the mortgage market. That has brought down the whole banking system, and there is not enough money in the world to fill the gap to cover that. So how this falls out, we'll have to wait and see, but it's going to affect the whole financial structure of the United States and the world. That's what's going to happen. Yeah?
Go back. Retroactive.
Did that go on or off? There. Okay. More editing, Jonathan. Now, question was this. If you got a notice in the mail that you are now going to send your mortgage payment to another company, what does that constitute? Okay. That does not constitute a new addendum to the note. That's just a change in the place where you mail it. See? And that's where they failed and was brought out. One attorney brought this up and showed that you cannot foreclose. So here, what did we have just last month? 150,000 foreclosures last month. All of them now are null and void. But if you already walked away from your home, you can't come back and get it. So what was it? It was what bank said they quit using MERS. One of the big banks said they...
Chase.
Huh? Yeah. Chase said they... No. I don't know. I don't know, but they're all going to have to quit using MERS. So this is going to create a problem because MERS has to solve the problem. Where are the notes? Who owns what? How much of this? Do you own one mortgage payment? Do you own a pile of mortgages? What is it that... And, you know, my personal hope is that poor George Soros gets stuck with a lot of these. Yeah, China's going to be stuck. They may end up, you know, I jokingly said, some of these people in foreclosure, you might hear a knock on the door and hear someone from China saying, this is my house, get out. Okay, now let's look at a couple things here that is true to show you your sins will find you out. And let's come to the book of Proverbs now. Book of Proverbs. Now, I don't know if you followed the mortgage crisis or not, but there were an awful lot of people who bought homes and the value of their homes were going up like $100,000 a year. And some of them, for 3 years in a row, refinanced and borrowed up to the hilt. They had a lot of their credit cards. They paid them off and put it on the house, and then value of the house went up, so the loan broker came back and said, you want to refinance your house, you can get another $100,000 out of your house. Well, you know, everyone's going to do that. And, they think, because here was the problem in their thinking. The housing market has never gone down in 70 years. So why should we think that the housing market's not going to continue to go up? Well, be sure your sins will find you out. All right, Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Now, we've covered this in time past, but it's good to cover it again. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Now, this is why God had in his word that every 7 years you had to release. And you were not to put usury upon people and burden them down. Then every 50 years there was to be complete liberty from all debt. And I wonder where we are in the Jubilee cycle with all of this going on, because the only way you can solve it is to forgive the debt. But there are people holding it saying, you cheated me, I'm not going to forgive one bit of it. And so Uncle Ben Bernanke said, well, we're going to print more money, and if you don't buy our bonds, we're going to buy our bonds. And we really can't have a depression, so a little inflation will work just fine. That's what he said this past week. See. Well, it's going to come along, it'll build up, build up, build up, build up, and then bam, inflation's going to take off. And then we'll talk about what that's going to do. All right, let's see a prophecy here of it. Isaiah 24, very similar to this. Isaiah 24, no one is going to be left unharmed from this worldwide banking catastrophe. Isaiah 24. Okay. Everyone is going to be affected. And just like I've said beginning 15 years ago, get out of debt. get out of debt. If you can, buy some gold. Now, I talked to a man who bought some gold at $800 an ounce. And he contacted his gold dealer and said, well, how much will you buy this back for? And he said, well, today I can buy it back for $1,400 an ounce. And he got it 3 years ago. Now, did he make more money on that than he did 1%, 0.5%, 0.25% interest in the bank? See, your interest rate tells you how worthless the currency is. All right, let's pick it up here. Verse 2, Isaiah 24. As it is with the people, so shall it be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with the handmaiden, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. And remember the one that I did on Aftershock? What did they say where most of this money is going? It's going to money heaven. And the proverb says that your wealth shall fly away. And that's true. You can have so much money in your ledger that you have an account on a bank, and then the bank goes broke, and you have nothing. And that's what it's going to be with all of them. Okay? Now, let's see some other things that also affect this. I'll just review what I covered last time, some of the things that I covered. Disclosures from an insider. Scrap the dollar as sole reserve currency, UN report. That's easier said than done, because everything is in the dollar. If the dollar goes down, that affects every single nation in the world, without a doubt. Now, do the bankers know this? Of course they know it. That's why the G20. They don't have agreement yet. They still have some things to do. But with the problems with the dollar, they're going to agree. And it says in Revelation 17, here, let's go back there for just a minute. How will all these nations agree? Well, it's prophesied that there is a mark of the beast coming. And how is it going to get to the point that they can bring in the mark of the beast? All right, but here, Revelation 17, and let's pick it up here. Verse 17. Now, this is talking about, we covered this last time, Revelation 17. For God has put it in their hearts to do his will and to act with one accord to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. All right, now we'll come back and look at that again. Right there, see? So it's going to happen. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to hear bad news. But if you know what's coming, when the bad news comes, you're not going to be blown away. You're going to be able to stop and think, what do I do? How do I act? You might ask yourself, how much have I prepared right now? See? Because it's coming. And I didn't bring the report of what happened when the inflation reached, you know, wheelbarrow full of millions of marks to buy a loaf of bread. But when that happened, that affected all of Germany and Austria. And what happened was there were gangs running around stealing hogs, stealing cattle, confiscating bread and everything like this. And just think about what's happening here. And I know Dolores and I were shocked yesterday that judge, whatever her name is in Arizona, allowed the 13 Latino countries to sue Arizona for the law that they had there, which was almost identical to federal law. Okay. Now, here's how they're going to do it. Number one, they've got to get agreement with the leading central banks, because they're the ones that create the money. They're going to do it by printing money. That's what happened in Germany. They printed money, and at first it didn't cause a problem. And then all of a sudden, it started galloping away and then racing away, and to where they had to let the workers out at 10, 2, and 4 with their pay so they could go home and give it to their wives so they could go down and buy the things at the grocery store before the price went up again. Now, if you're online, go look up Zimbabwe. I saw a little special on Zimbabwe in Kenya, and I was surprised. One man caught a real big fish. And the one who was doing the documentary said, well, how much would this cost in your currency? It was like 15,000, whatever the currency was, see, would be like $25 U.S. Yes. Comment was made, you ought to read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire and also of Germany, see. Now, here's where we are. Ben Bernanke announced yesterday that they will print money. It's called quantitative easing. Nice term. We're going to debase your money and make it worthless. Okay? Entitled Deflation, Make Sure It Doesn't Happen Here, is a warfare manual for defeating economic slumps by the use of extreme monetary stimulus once interest rates have dropped to zero. We're just about there. And Ben Bernanke announced, well, we're not going to lower it any less than zero. Okay. And implicitly, once governments have spent themselves to near bankruptcy, the speech is best known for its irreverent one-liner, the U.S. government has technology called a printing press that allows it to produce as many U.S. dollars as it wishes at essentially no cost. Bernanke began putting the script into action after the credit system seized up in 2008, purchasing $1.7 trillion of Treasury mortgage securities and agency bonds to shore up the U.S. credit system. He stopped far short of the $5 trillion balance sheet quietly penciled in by the Fed board as the upper limit for quantitative easing. Now, they can't audit the Federal Reserve. Number one, it is not a government agency. It is a private international bank, and they cannot edit the books. Now, if you haven't read The Monster from Jekyll Island, you read it. It's a direct branch of Rothschild's banks in Germany. All right? So they are ready to do that. Okay. Now, here's another one. The death of paper money. That's what's going to happen. The death of paper money. What did we read in the Aftershock book? They want to come up with a digital world currency. That's the only answer they can come up with. They can't handle it any other way. So that's going to happen. Now, the G20 agreed to strangle us with debt. In a second step from 2013 to 2016, the G20 agreed to gradually reach zero new debt, which means, of course, even more economic contraction. Give us all kinds of debt, stimulus policies, build it up, and then say, no more money. So that's what they're going to do. Okay, I read part of this last time. IMF predicts new world order because that's what's going to happen. The banking system is going to do it. And we'll look at some of those scriptures again. We looked at them last time, but let's look at them again from the point of view of what it is actually telling us. Okay, dollar falls sparks stability warning. And the dollar fell to its lowest level this year. Increasing expectations the Federal Reserve will pump more money into the U.S. economy next month under a policy known as quantitative easing to send the dollar to new lows against the Chinese. And the Chinese knew once they agreed not to peg their money to the value of the dollar, because if the value of the dollar went down, theirs went down, and they could continue stable prices in selling in America. Once they agreed to not do that, then they knew this would happen, that we would take the dollar down while the Chinese yuan went up, and now it would cost them more dollars to buy our stuff, and they would have to sell things at higher prices here. Okay? Now, here's quite an article. And this one is from, and I'm going to do a little reading here. This one is from, I will get the website. This one is from GEBA, Global Europe Anticipation Bulletin. I don't have the website, but Ron got it, so you can look it up if you want to look it up here. I think maybe it's at the end. All right. They're having a problem now with investors in the stock market. Most of the investors are institutions and foreign institutions and governments buying our stocks and bonds, which means they now own those companies. See, we don't know that. Stock market's up, hooray, everything's wonderful. No, they're dumping all the dollars to buy all they can in real assets before it collapses, you see? Okay? 70% of the transaction now are in the hands of major institutions and other high-frequency traders. Used to be about 60% were individual investors. They're no longer in the market. The Federal Reserve knows that it is powerless. But they also know what they are doing. See, because the only way you can bring a world currency in is to collapse all currencies everywhere in the world at the same time. You can't do it one country over here, another country over there. And I'll show you from the scriptures that this is how the Bible is telling us that it will be done. Okay? Finally, there is a financial monetary effect that is particularly tragic since the players are aware of their unenviable situation. The Federal Reserve now knows that it is powerless. Despite the extraordinary efforts, zero interest rates, quantitative easing, huge support for the real estate mortgage market, massive support to banks, tripling of its balance sheet that it carried out from September 2008, the U.S. economy will not restart. Fed leaders are finding that they are only a part of a system, even if it is a vital part, and therefore can do nothing against a problem that affects the very nature of the system, in this case, the U.S. financial system. Designed as the solvent heart of the global world financial system since 1945. But the U.S. consumer has become insolvent. Everybody here cut back on their spending? Everybody here pay off your credit cards? Everybody here cut out all the luxuries? Yes, indeed. You know, taking the whole family to a slick restaurant now becomes a once-a-month outing to McDonald's. That's true. And I saw a picture of a Happy Meal, showed day one. 6 months later, day 180, identical. Didn't deteriorate at all. So that Happy Meal that they get is going to create health problems in the long run, and they're going to run to Obama for health care, and he's going to say, sorry, the line is way back there. Okay? The consumer, who during the past 30 years has gradually become the central economic player of this financial heart, with more than 70% of U.S. growth dependent on household spending. It is this insolvency of U.S. households that has broken the Fed's effort. Accustomed to the virtualism and thus the possibility of manipulating the process and dynamics of events, U.S. central bankers believed that they could mislead households once again, giving them the illusion of wealth and thus pushing them to revive consumption and behind it the whole U.S. economic and financial machine. Didn't work. Until the summer 2010, they did not believe that the systemic nature of the crisis was as bad as it was, and they did not understand that what was causing the problems was out of reach of the tools of the central bank, as powerful as it may be. Only in recent weeks have they discovered two pieces of evidence their policies have failed, and they have neither arms or ammunition to correct it. That's what the meeting was with Bernanke. So if you didn't listen to what he said, he was pretty straightforward and said, we will do whatever we will, and we're ready for more quantitative easing. Run the presses 48 hours a day now, guys. Hence the very depressed tone of discussions at the central bank meeting in Jackson Hole. What they do, they get all the world's central banks over to Jackson Hole. And they have private meetings. And they talk back and forth very plainly to each other. From where the lack of consensus on future action did not work out, and the endless debates about the nature of risk to be faced in the coming months, inflation, deflation, knowing the system's internal tools used to measure economic consequences of the trends are no longer even relevant as we analyze this issue. Whence increasingly violent clashes between proponents of renewed growth via debt and followers of debt reduction. Everyone wants to reduce debt. That's the best thing to do. But what happens? You reduce economic activity, right? See? Because the way they create money is through debt. And debt is an obligation, and debt is a lie. You can't create money with debt. Try borrowing money to make yourself prosperous. And when that runs out, borrow more money to take care of the borrowed money. Sooner or later, you're going to have to stop. Well, that's what American households have done, and it's frozen the Fed right dead in its tracks. Because they can't psych the people up, get a new credit card, run out and buy this, run out and buy that, run out and buy the other thing, see? And all of the economic activity that you see reported is what? Mostly inflation. Go online, look up commodities. Your loaf of bread's going to go up 50 to 75 cents a loaf because of wheat. Let's go on here. See, the Chinese are stuck. If they don't sell products to American consumers, their industry goes down, and they have riots. That's why there's a campaign that was out to try and psych you up to buy. Why don't you find a home for this new washer? Why don't you find a home for this new dryer, this new mixer, you see, to try and get people to buy it? Okay? Well, we're beyond being psyched up. We're psyched out. All right. So they don't have the means to do it, okay? and whether Ben Bernanke's speech, full of veiled threats to his central banker colleagues in ambiguous terms, he passed the following message: "We will try everything and anything to avoid an economic and financial collapse, and you will continue to finance this, everything and anything, through the buying of U.S. bonds. Otherwise, we let inflation loose and thus devalue the dollar, while the U.S. Treasury will no longer be worth much." When a central banker expresses himself like a common cash extortionist, there is danger in the house. So there we go. We're caught in a position where anything we do is near suicidal. So let's take a break.